Small children, very small children. I'm just wondering, what time frame do you think that they work to? So very small time frame. Are they sort of thinking in sort of days or weeks? 5 minutes. We think small children, it's about the here and now, isn't it? Slightly older children, sort of 11-year-olds, what sort of time frame maybe they be working to? You know, those of us, a day, maybe a bit longer than a day, I think, as well. Teenagers, a bit longer? Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think teenagers like us start to operate on different time frames depending on what thing they're looking at. So when it comes to a year out from university or something like that, they may actually start to think about next year, or when they're thinking about different aspects of their life, they might actually set aside the joys of today for some pleasure next week or something like that. I think we all have different time frames for different aspects of our lives. So you'll be surprised to know that already we have a 2020 planner at St. James. So every service that we've already got the services in for 2020. So with regards to what we're doing on Sundays, we've already thought the year ahead. It hasn't got every single detail in here. I don't know who's doing what service on the 18th or the 10th, for example. But we're thinking year long. And I reckon that is common for us all. We tend to put different things into different time frame references. We think about the next 24 hours, what we're going to do for the next 24 hours. Anna and I sit down on a Sunday and go through the week and sort of plan through who needs to be where for the week. And sometimes we actually manage to then do that during the week. Not all the time, but if we didn't have that meeting, there was every chance that we would fail even more significantly. In the Bible, it says, live each day as it comes. When it comes to worrying and when it comes to coping with the things that we need to sort of cope with within a 24-hour time frame, seems to be a sort of good biblical Christ says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And if you're one of those sort of persons that is leading a company or a business, or even if you're leading a family and you're being strategic and you're being visionary and you're looking to the future, you start to think about, well, that's what the future of our business looks like. And what do I need to do today? What steps do I need to take so that future actually happens? And even in families, we do that. We say, well, we're going to go on holiday next summer. What are we going to have to do now so that we can be prepared, ready, and most importantly, afford that holiday in the coming summer? And at the same time, we've always got those things that are important in our lives versus those things that are immediate, the things that we want to get done, the things that we need to get done, and then the immediate things that come crashing into our lives that we need. In the two readings that we have today, we've got a reading from Isaiah and we've got a reading from Matthew. And in both readings, they ask us to do two things. The first thing that they ask us to do is to expand our time frame. Even though we may operate on different time frames for different things, in this regard, it is asking, both readings ask us to expand our time frame, to see a bigger picture. So Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, a prophet of God, starts his prophecy by saying, if you're reading chapter 2, verse 2, in the last days. So think about the last days. And goes on to explain how the Messiah, the Son of Man, will bring the people and nations together, will draw them to God. There will be no more war. There will be peace that will reign throughout the nations. And then if we look at the Matthew reading, Matthew 24, the readings that we had set within the whole chapter of 24 and chapter 25, again and again, Jesus is giving warnings, normally through telling different parables, warnings to expand your time frame. Though you may be drinking and eating and going to weddings, God will, through Jesus, return with power and great glory. In whatever that we're doing today, in our eating and drinking, to expand our mindset, our time frame, to take in these things. So that's the first thing that the two readings are telling us to do. And the second thing that are being asked from us from the two readings is to live the future now. And this is the bigger of the two things, to live the future now. So the end of the Isaiah reading, verse 5 that we had, reads, we should walk in the light of the Lord, not in the future, not when the Messiah has arrived, but now we should walk in the light of the Lord. And the Matthew 24 reading towards the end, verse 44, says, so you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at the end at an hour when you do not expect him. Walk in the light of the Lord and be ready now. Live our future now. Live the future now. Live towards that future heaven, now on earth, inspired now by the future. Jesus goes on in Matthew to show us what it is to live in the future as if it was now, how the future should inspire us now. So in chapter 25, verses 34 to 36, we read, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. That's the future. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. When was that? Now. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, in the here and now. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. That future inheritance lived out in the here and now. And at the end of Luke, in chapter 28, 18 to 20, Jesus says to his disciples, all authority in heaven, the future, and on earth, now, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. When? Now. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I command. And surely I will be with you always, now and in the future, to the very end of the age. Note in both, our present is a living out of a future promise. I'm going to end this by sharing something that the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and the Archbishop of York, John Centimew, urges us to do in the here and now. It is in their letter that they've written preceding the general election, and it's written to us, it's written to politicians and commentators. And if you listen carefully to their letter, it is asking us to live the future now, to live those future promises of Christ now. They call us to be inspired to walk now in the light of Christ as we approach this coming general election. So these are their words. As we approach this general election, we also herald the season of Advent, the birth of Jesus Christ, and the reminder of his return as our judge. In Christ's birth, God chose to come and live among us, intervening in our imperfect world and offering the hope of life reordered and restored. At his return, he promises the setting right of all things. It is time to set aside apathy and cynicism and be a people of hope. We will be praying for debates that seek to unite rather than divide, to bring us together and to rebuild trust in each other, in our institutions and our politics. As Jesus did through his birth in poverty, his actions and words and his warnings of judgment for those who seek only their own well-being, we must put the vulnerable and those on the edge of society first. Taking part in a democracy is a privilege and a responsibility. So let us be guided by a love for our neighbour, near and far, and seek that common good that truly benefits us all. That includes justice for the oppressed, protection for the persecuted, and a commitment to combat climate change and adapt to its effects. It also includes a just economic system, open and encouraging to aspiration and ambition, supportive of those who struggle. Let us seek wisdom and guidance of our Heavenly Father, the source of all wisdom, who inspires us as we wrestle to address the questions and challenges of our time in both authority and judge over all human beings. May his wisdom and his vision guide our debate, campaign and vote for those who will be elected as our representatives. As we head into the season of Advent as Christians, let us be filled with hope and call on him. This is the ever-present guardian and final judge in our nation and in our politics. In the name of the risen Lord, who was and is to come. Amen.